Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. It's good to be back with all of you after these last two Sundays. I was off for my staycation. I didn't go anywhere, but I was not here with you, and so it's good to be back. And it's good especially to begin a new season together and a new church year together. I should say Happy New Year to all of you as we begin on this first Sunday in Advent. And we are so excited to see all the decorations up here. We've got some new things in the sanctuary this year, so hopefully you kind of notice that. And thank you to all of you who were involved in putting those things up for us. It's really a wonderful thing and helps us to celebrate this time of the year. Advent is all about the coming of our Savior into the world, but also his coming again. We're looking forward to Jesus coming back on the last day to take us into his eternal kingdom. What a blessing that will be. Today for our worship, we are going to use Divine Service Setting 3, and you'll find that on page 184. I invite you to stand as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn now to the introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. Behold, your King is coming to you. Save us, we pray, O Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold, your King is coming to you. Thank you. During the season of Advent, we will omit the Gloria in Excelsis, and so at this time, we will sing an Advent hymn, which will be the first two stanzas of hymn 332, Savior of the Nations Come. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the first Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the gradual responsibly. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, beginning with verse 11. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. We sing the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the gospel of the Lord. And now that we have heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our faith. This morning, we will confess the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Congregation may be seated. And at this time, I'd like to invite all of our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Walden.
It takes so long to say, I know. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Good. Now, you come into church today, and things are different. Way different. What's different? What's different, Winnie? We got two trees back here. Yeah. What else is different? Keegan. There's a star up there. Yeah. There's a couple stars up there. Right? One on top of the tree, one in the carriage. What else is new?
The banners on the wall got taken away.
Yeah. So those red banners that used to be on the wall over there, they're gone. Now we've got some different Christmas decorations up there. What else? Yeah, we got the Advent wreath over there. You guys see that? And how many of those Advent candles are lit today? Cruz, how many have a light on them, though? Just one, right? Yeah, one. So, and we also have, you see back there? See on the balcony? We got pictures of candles on those banners back there, too. Lots of things are different today. Today is the beginning of a new season. It's a season we call Advent, right? What does Advent mean? That's a great question. What? Coming, yeah, right? Advent is coming. So when something is coming, we say it's the advent of that thing or that person. Well, when we're talking about the season of Advent, who is it that's coming?
Jesus,
right? Good Sunday school answer, right? Jesus is coming. We think about that because we're getting ready for a very special day coming up toward the end of December. What's coming at the end of December? Christmas, right? So you love Christmas. We all love Christmas, don't we? I mean, look at how joyful the whole sanctuary looks today. We are getting ready for Christmas. Christmas is coming, so we call this Advent because we think about what it was like in the days before Jesus came into the world, what that must have been like, what that must have felt like. But then for all of us, too, we're really excited for that day. How many of you guys really love to wait? Some of you? Not really many of you. What's something that's, besides Christmas, okay, besides Christmas, what's something else that's really hard to wait for?
Halloween.
Halloween, okay. You got a little while to wait for Halloween, buddy. Okay. Birthdays, what else?
Going somewhere fun,
right? If you have like a trip or an event plan, it might be really hard to wait for that. Riker, what's hard to wait for? Oh, yeah, whenever you get to eat, right? Oh, yeah. If you're hungry, you cannot wait to get that next meal or that snack or whatever it is, right? I know somebody right over there who likes to eat constantly and doesn't like to ever wait for mealtime, yeah, right? So absolutely, that's hard to wait for.
I love
eating
a lot, too.
That's good. What's one more thing, Abby? Yeah, you got a sleepover or some sort of play date with your friends, and if that's going to be like a few days from now or even a couple hours from now or whatever, it's hard to wait. You just want it to come, right? You want the advent of that thing that you're excited for to come, right? You guys can put your hands down now. But when we think about Christmas coming, we know what day Christmas will be, right? We know it will happen on December 25th, right? How many days away is that from now? Can anybody do the math? You kind of have to know what today's date is in order to do that math. Today is November 27th. How many days away are we from Christmas? How many days do we need to wait?
1,000?
Not quite 1,000. How many days? 28 days! Actually, Christmas falls on a Sunday this year. So it's exactly 4 weeks away.
Exactly.
Because today's Sunday and Christmas falls on a Sunday. So we have to wait exactly 4 weeks. And one of the things that could help with this, you guys might have something like this at home, and I brought one that we found. I did a lot of cleaning up in the basement the last couple weeks when I was on my staycation, and there's a bunch of Advent calendars. You guys ever see anything like this? This one's really cool. It's an Eric Carle. You know the Very Hungry Caterpillar guy? He made this Advent calendar. I think it's pretty cool in Eric Carle style, right? But you can see, and maybe you guys have something like this at home, where you open up the different windows on each day leading up to Christmas, and each day it kind of helps you count down. You guys back up so everybody can see, all right? And this one is cool because it pops up like this. But you might have one that doesn't do that. Maybe you have one that hangs on the wall. Maybe you have one that sits up on a stand. But whatever it is, you can each day kind of count down the days until Christmas. And that helps you know when Christmas is coming. You can kind of look at it. You say, oh, we're about halfway there. We've got 1 week left. You know, whatever it is, that kind of helps you, right? But I wanted to tell you about a time when God's people did not know when the first Christmas was going to come. Did you know that before Jesus was born, God's prophets had not spoken a new word of the Lord to them for 400 years? 400 years! That's a really long time. Can you imagine if it's hard to wait for your next meal? Can you imagine waiting 400 years for Jesus to be born? It's really amazing, isn't it, that the people of God had to wait that long? So when we spend 4 weeks waiting for Christmas Day, it kind of helps us to think about what God's people were going through waiting for 400 years. Now, you might have an Advent calendar that can help you with that. We have these Advent wreaths where here at church we light a new candle every week. So we're not counting down every day, but we're counting down the 4 weeks until Christmas comes. You might have something like that that can help you know when Christmas is going to come. But you know what? The most important thing is God gave his people his promise. God gave his people his word. They didn't have an Advent calendar that lasted 400 years. They didn't. But they had God's promise. And you know what? God's kept every promise that he has ever made. During this season of Advent, you know, we're not just waiting for Christmas. There's something else we're waiting for too. We're waiting for Jesus to come back on the last day. And so far, it's taken 2,000 years ever since he made that promise. That's a long, long time. I don't have an Advent calendar that goes 2,000 years. But what we do have is the same as what God's people had back a long time ago. We have God's word. We have God's promise. He always keeps his promises. So as we wait for Jesus to come back, we wait with confidence and with patience and with joy because we know that God will keep his promise to us and he will bring us into his heavenly kingdom someday. That sound good? All right, so let's say a prayer and let's ask God to help us be patient for Jesus coming back. You guys can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for coming to us at Christmas to be our Savior. Help us to be patient as we wait for your second coming. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys so much. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. And we will now continue with our sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel from Matthew chapter 21. This is the account of King Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the day that we traditionally call Palm Sunday. But this is appropriate for us to be thinking about as we begin the Advent season together, because we know that the Advent and Christmas season is not just about a baby boy who was born 2,000 years ago, but it's actually more about the fact that we have a Savior, that he came to save all of humanity. And this is exactly what the children of Israel are celebrating as Jesus is riding into the city of Jerusalem. The whole point in celebrating Christmas is to get us to see Easter even more clearly. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to tell you about a new thing that our family discovered recently, which has been really helpful to us. Actually, it's not really all that new, but it's new to us. It's an app that you download for your phone, and it's called Life 360. Some of you probably are familiar with it. Maybe some of you use it in your family. Like I said, it's not really new. I actually looked it up, and it launched back in 2008. So we're kind of late to this party. But anyway, Life 360 is an app that uses GPS technology in your phone to be able to show your whole family where everybody is at any given moment. And so this has been a really great thing. It can do a lot of other things too. It has other features. It has a premium version. You can pay for all kinds of things. We just use the free version of it, and that works pretty well for us. But it's been really helpful, especially since many of you know my wife Katie went back to work. She's now teaching at Christ Our Rock, and you know, it seems like every day we're going in opposite directions, and with my job, sometimes I end up going places that I didn't anticipate going, and sometimes the things that I know are going to happen in my brain don't often make it to my words, and I don't communicate as well as I should. So it's good. It's good to have Life 360 as a backup, so we all kind of know where we all are at any given time. That's a really good thing. And I would say it's also become helpful for us because our kids are really into looking and seeing where we are if we're not home. And here's kind of case in point. So just this past week, in our little Life 360 family bubble, it's myself and Katie, and we also added my mother-in-law, Carol, who's here with us today. Grandma came to visit for Thanksgiving, along with Katie's sister, Victoria, came from Georgia as well. And so that's been really fun to be hanging out with them over this last weekend. So we have the three of us in our little family bubble, and we've learned over the years that when Grandma is coming to town to visit, we need to wait until the last possible moment to inform our kids that she's coming. Because otherwise, if we tell them too soon, they get way too excited, way too early, and then for days, it's like, when's Grandma coming? Did she leave yet? Is she going to be here? It's so hard to wait. It's taking so long, and it's just over and over and over again until the moment that Grandma walks into the door. And so this really worked out well with Life 360. Because on Monday, once we knew that she had left, after the kids got home from school, we could tell them right away, hey, Grandma's on her way. And for the rest of the evening, anytime they wanted to know, how much longer is it going to be? When's she going to get here? We could just pull up the map, and you could see Grandma's little picture, her face getting closer and closer and closer to Hoyleton all the time. It was awesome. I promise I'm not secretly working for Life 360. I'm not going to get any commission if you decide to download it. But I wanted to share that with all of you because I think it ties in really well with the theme of our service today. And the theme of the service today is maybe one that you weren't necessarily expecting to hear about when you came into church for the first Sunday in Advent. As we begin this season together and we look around, we have so much joy at all of these Christmas decorations and everything. Our minds are turning toward the birth of Jesus and our celebration of the birth of Jesus. So it kind of seems strange then that the gospel reading that is assigned for today is the one that we would normally associate with Palm Sunday. We are used to hearing about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the crowds with their cloaks and their palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." We're used to hearing about all those things in the spring. We're used to hearing about it the week before Easter. We're used to hearing about it in the context of Confirmation Day and the end of the school year and all of those things. But it actually, believe it or not, is a long-standing tradition, going back literally hundreds of years, that the church would remember the events of Palm Sunday as we begin the season of Advent. And I don't know about you, but I actually kind of like it. I kind of like having this opportunity to think about Palm Sunday outside of the context of Holy Week, but also thinking about how the Palm Sunday gospel, Jesus finally arriving into the city where he is going to rule as king on David's throne. I like how that Palm Sunday gospel, when you couch it in things like Christmas trees and Advent wreaths and all of that, it kind of actually changes the way we might meditate upon Christmas itself a little bit. One of the things I think is helpful for us to remember, and I mentioned it to the kids just a little bit ago in the children's sermon, but one of the things that I think we need to always keep in mind is that when Jesus was born into the world, the Word of God had not gone out from his prophets for, like I said, 400 years. The prophets were silent. There was no new word in four centuries. The Old Testament ends with the prophet Malachi. And Malachi's words were written down in around right around 400 BC. So for all of that time, nothing. For a really long time. So for us, when we gather together and we begin Advent together, we're flipping over the calendar to a new church year, and we're starting this new liturgical year, and we're getting into that mindset. We're also kind of at the same time getting into the mindset of those children of Israel who had been waiting for such a long time for the Lord to reveal himself to them. Sometimes they did so patiently, sometimes they did so not so patiently. I think the same thing can be said of us too. Sometimes we're more patient and sometimes we're less patient. But because Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, because the first Sunday in Advent falls on November 27th this year, if you're doing the math, this is actually the longest that we will ever have to wait during the Advent season, right? This is the furthest out it could ever be. You can't ever start Advent on November 26th because actually that's going to happen next year where November 26th falls on a Sunday, and then the fourth Sunday of Advent is actually Christmas Eve. So November 26th doesn't become part of Advent next year. This is it. This is the longest that we might ever have to wait. If you think about four full weeks as opposed to 400 years, every week of Advent this year could represent, in a way, 100 years of waiting for God's people. We can't even fathom what it would be like to have to wait 100 years for something, 400 years for something. We would never live that long anyway, let alone how frustrated we are just when we have to wait 4 weeks for something. Sometimes when you start getting ready for Christmas this early, it can make that wait even more unbearable. I know just at our house this weekend, we put up the Christmas tree in our living room. Zach right away started asking, "Well, do we need to go get some carrots for Rudolph?" It's like, hold on, buddy. Just wait. He'll come. Just got to be patient, right? We all need to be patient. So this is where, in my mind, I start to make some connections between what it's like to watch my kids wait for Christmas Day and what it was like last Monday to watch my kids wait for Grandma to come. When we are looking forward to something but we don't fully understand the timeline, that's when we can start to grow impatient and anxious and all of the above. But when we have a little bit more information in front of us, if I've got a little dot, a little picture that I can watch on a map, like on Life 360, or like I was just talking about with the kids a little bit earlier, if you have an Advent calendar that can help you count down the days until Christmas comes, when you have just that little visual, that little bit of information, all of a sudden that brings you a sense of calm, right? It helps you to realize that the day that you've been waiting for will come. And actually, more than just a sense of calm, but a sense of joy, because then the fear of the unknown is removed, and you're free to be joyful. And that's really what the crowd in Matthew chapter 21 is experiencing. They're experiencing all kinds of joy as they watch Jesus riding into Jerusalem. They're spreading their cloaks, they're waving their palms, they're shouting Hosanna. I'm sure it's safe to say that not everybody in that crowd knew exactly what was about to happen. They didn't really know that there was going to be a crucifixion 5 days later. Certainly, they didn't know that there was going to be a resurrection 1 week later. And yet at the same time, they still had information in front of them. They didn't have a Life 360 app. But what they did have was God's word. What they had was his promises. And even just by shouting the word Hosanna, you know what that word means? It means save us now. They believed the promises about the Messiah. They knew the prophecies. They knew that he would come to sit on the throne of David and reign on that throne forever. They didn't have Life 360, but they had Christ 360. And they were able to see this little bubble with Jesus' face moving closer and closer and closer and getting so excited all the time for that moment to finally arrive. That's what you're seeing on Palm Sunday. We have something similar going on among us in our own lives, and it's not just because now we're waiting for December 25th to come, right? Now it's officially the Christmas season. Now you're officially allowed to listen to your Christmas music in the car or whatever it is. That's not the only reason why we get excited during this time of the year. What matters even more than that baby being born 2,000 years ago, I mean, don't get me wrong, the incarnation of God is extremely important, but what matters even more is that this same God has promised to save us by coming back and restoring everything, by taking this world and making it new again, and by finally destroying sin and death for good. That's the thing that we're still waiting for. The last day when King Jesus is going to return and bring all of us into his eternal kingdom. Christians all over the world have been waiting for that day for 20 centuries now. We hear about wars and rumors of wars, and life in this world continues to get more complicated and difficult, and it can be tempting for us to get really anxious and really worried because we don't know the timeline. Right? Jesus himself says, no one knows the day or the hour. And in his humility, when he was here in his human nature, he decided to limit himself so that not even he knew when that day or hour would come in that moment. But we don't need an app. We don't need Life 360 because we, like the children of God in ancient days, have the word. And we have his promises, and his promises can never fail. God has kept every single promise that he has ever made. So we have no doubt whatsoever that he's going to keep this one too in his perfect timing. Not only do we have the word, but we have the sacraments which create faith and sustain them and sustain our faith. We have the sacraments of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so these things help us to know that that day will come. And on top of all of it, we have the Holy Spirit himself. We have a helper reminding us that we are never, ever alone. So that's the beauty of Christ 360, right? That no matter where you look, in 360 degrees all around you from wherever you stand, there is Christ for you. It's true at this time of the year. It's true all times of the year. So we can wave our palm branches in the winter and in the spring, or we can decorate our evergreen branches. Whatever it is, we know that when we look at the map of our lives, we can see the bubble moving closer and closer and closer to our heavenly home. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Turn to the bottom of page 192, and we sing together the offertory. I invite you to please stand. You may be seated, and at this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. In our prayers today, we do have a few updates for you. Under ongoing health needs, we continue to pray for Michael Renth, who is the brother of Mary Beth Sudmeyer. Michael was hospitalized again recently after falling, and now he's undergoing even more testing. So we pray that they would get good test results and figure out a great way to treat him and what's ailing him. We will also be lifting in prayer today Mickey Geiger, who is the sister of Tanya Agin. Mickey's daughter passed away recently. So we pray for God's comfort for her and her family. We have two prayers of rejoicing today, thanksgiving for the birth of Henrik Adam Brahmeyer, the newborn son of Adam and Shane Brahmeyer, who was born on Friday afternoon, thanks be to God. And also, we will be praying for Kelly and David Hoogie, who were married here on Tuesday afternoon. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Stir up your power, O Lord, to rescue us from the dangers of this dark world by the advent of your Son, that we may ever walk in his light and learn the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, though we do not know the day or hour of your Son's appearing, grant that we would always be prepared by sending us faithful pastors and teachers who will boldly proclaim your word of law and gospel to us, that we may be constantly encouraged and built up in the faith. You have established your kingdom as a beacon to call all nations unto yourself. Teach us to walk in the light of your peace. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Iuka, and their pastor, Aaron Kangas. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Lord, you are the authority to whom all temporal authorities must bow. Give wisdom and godly insight to our president, our governor, and all who make, administer, or judge our laws. Grant peace among the nations, that swords may be beaten into plowshares and spears to pruning hooks. Bless those who serve in the armed forces of our nation, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Lucas, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your great blessings to us in this life, all of the daily bread you have provided to us. And we especially rejoice today with those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Charlene, AJ, Eileen, Riley, Carla, Aiden, Elijah, and Vicky. Bless them in this next year of life and beyond. Rejoice over your gift of new life, especially for the birth of Henrik Adam Brahmeyer. We ask that you would be with him and his parents as he grows. Quickly lead him to the font of holy baptism. We thank you for the gifts of marriage and family. We ask you to surround all married couples with your love and grace, especially those who are celebrating anniversaries, including John and Denise Brink. We praise you also for the marriage of Kelly and David Hoogie, which took place here on Tuesday. Strengthen them and bless them each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, look with mercy upon the sick. Visit them during these Advent days to comfort them with your saving gospel. If it be your will, grant healing and peace to all who are on our prayer list, including those in care facilities, Marlene, Thretta, Bill, Richard, Jim, Imogen, and Brian, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Daryl, Joan, Roy, Bobby, Amy, Eric, Patrick, Tiffany, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Roy, Dorothy, Jamie Lynn, Wayne, Corey, Michael, Linda, Sam, Shoei, Judy, Bill, all those who are fighting cancer. We also ask you to grant comfort to those who mourn the loss of loved ones, especially Mickey Geiger and her entire family at the passing of her daughter. Remind them of the hope we have in the resurrection of the dead. Lord, in your mercy. Oh, loving Father, you alone know the day and the hour when our Lord Jesus Christ will come again in glory. Keep us steadfast in the one true faith that we may ever be ready for his reappearing. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. The closing hymn is number 341, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to be back with you all. It's a busy time of year, got a lot going on, and there's a lot to read about in your bulletin. I'll try to highlight some of the main things that are happening. All of our choirs and special music are getting ready for the upcoming Christmas concert, the Christmas season. The concert itself will be on December 14th, I believe it is. But we've got men's choir practice tonight at 6 o'clock, so men, please join us up in the balcony tonight. We got chimes tomorrow. We got mixed choir this Wednesday, so all the groups are meeting. Tomorrow night is also finance board for that'll be at 7 o'clock over in the conference room over at school. There will not be any women's Bible study throughout the season of Advent, so they are taking a break until after the new year. If you are looking to place a poinsettia up here in the altar area for Christmas, you have about 2 weeks before you need to worry about that, but that will be at 1 o'clock on Saturday, December 10th, so please come by with your poinsettias at that time. Please let us know in the office if you are giving that poinsettia in memory or in honor of someone or something, so we can list it that way in the bulletin. We really appreciate that. Let's see. Don't forget about our midweek Advent services. So for the next couple Wednesdays, we are going to have a little theme that I'm calling the colors of Christmas. And so what I'm planning to do with that, if you'll please come and join me this Wednesday and next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we are going to take a look at specifically the colors red and green. And we're going to see what those colors can help to teach us about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it's going to be a really interesting theme to talk through. So I hope you join me. If you can't be here in person, you can always watch those services online. They are 7 o'clock these next two Wednesdays. And then the third Wednesday in Advent will be that Christmas concert, as I mentioned. Next Sunday, we will have a special voters meeting. Please, voters, mark this on your calendar. This is a special meeting that is being planned. We talked about this for those of you who were here at the October quarterly meeting. You probably knew that at some time we were going to have to schedule this, but we are talking about applying for a vicar. The congregation has had vicars in the past. Both Pastor Josh Tylan and Pastor Aaron Kodala had served in Hoyleton as vicars before they became pastors, and so we are looking at the possibility of doing that again here in Hoyleton. There's information for those of you who are not at the quarterly meeting. There's information for you, a half sheet full of information in the back of the bulletin today. If you have any questions about anything that's listed there, you can talk to me or you can talk to any of the elders, and we'd be glad to fill you in. But the meeting next Sunday, immediately following the worship service, will be to decide whether or not this congregation would like to apply for the vicarage program. If we do decide to apply for a vicar, then we will find out whether we get one or not at the end of April, and then he would most likely start then next summer, probably around August, something like that. So that's kind of the timeline. Again, let me know if you have any questions about that. The last thing I wanted to mention is that the Ladies' Aid Christmas party is coming up soon. It will be on December 6th, and they need to know this week. They need to know if you're planning to come. So please RSVP to Jerry Schnicker by Tuesday the 29th, and the phone number is there for you in the bulletin. Are there any other announcements today? Okay, if not, have a blessed day, have a blessed week, go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week. Have a blessed week.